I think I'm going to be too tall for.
Yeah.
So I'll do it this way. Oops. I have no relationships to disclose. I'm going to be talking about some work that we actually began about 5 years ago, because we were very interested in understanding why it is, despite a lot of nutrition education that's offered to WIC participants, that many do not comply with infant feeding guidelines. And everyone in this room understands that formula feeding and overfeeding and early solid food introduction, inappropriate food introduction and fluids are also common in the population. And we were interested as qualitative researchers in investigating what were the participants' barriers to following these infant feeding guidelines, and if there was anything that could be done, anything that could be changed within the WIC program to address these barriers that were perceived by the participants. So we began, again, I said 5 years ago in 2003, with some focus groups, and we were able to conduct a whole series of, several studies in four WIC agencies in California. And we had baseline surveys before they went into the groups to get information about demographics and feeding intentions and practices that were going on at that point. And the sessions were recorded and transcribed and independently coded by the research team. And I have to tell you, in California, we have a rather unusual situation in that we have 87% breastfeeding initiation. So it isn't really a need for us in California to convince women that breast is best. And in fact, in the groups that we conducted, we heard that those messages were very loud and clear. And, you know, this is a common comment. Well, I'm breastfeeding because it helps them protect against viruses better, breastfeeding. It's also very important for development of the brain and eyes. So they were getting all those messages very clear. However, we also heard that there was a proportion of mothers who said that they stopped breastfeeding or they introduced solid formula because of medical conditions or there was a difficulty with the breastfeeding process. But a much larger proportion of the mothers told us that the reason why they had to stop breastfeeding or they had to supplement with formula was because their babies were hungry. And fortunately, when you're working in a qualitative setting, you can ask them, well, how did you know that your baby was hungry? And what we heard from a majority of these women was that they felt that the babies were crying because the babies were hungry. And if they were offered either formula or cereal in the bottle or something else, then the babies wouldn't cry so much. And that meant that they were full. They were no longer hungry. And so this is a typical comment. When I gave formula, the baby no longer cried and slept. And that's when I decided not to give him breast milk. The mothers also believed very powerfully that babies woke up because they were hungry, and that's why they woke up, even very young babies. Some of the mothers anticipated the baby should be sleeping through the night about 11 days. So this is really an amazing disconnect that was there. And this is very common. From the time she was maybe 3 or 4 months old, I started putting a little cereal in her bottle, and it was like at night, and it would help her, and she would be full, and she would sleep through the night. So we kept hearing baby behavior was really a powerful indicator to these mothers as to be hunger, and that whatever they were feeding at the time was not sufficient. They were not able to satisfy their babies. Some of the mothers even told us, if I feed the baby more when I know the baby is full, the baby will stay full longer. My baby used to wake up, and now I'm giving him formula if he's already full and he no longer wakes up. So you can see that the full, quiet, sleeping baby was really the norm in this population and what everyone wanted to achieve, right? So what we drew from this is it was clear that our mothers understood that breastfeeding was best, that they shouldn't start solid foods too early, that they shouldn't give too much formula. They knew all these things, they were getting all the education, but it just didn't work in their lives. And because it didn't work, they felt compelled, and I cannot tell you how strongly, compelled to do whatever they needed to do to get that full, quiet, sleeping child. It was very important. And what they ended up doing is what we sort of called multiple mode feedings, because we all know here that babies are going to wake up and babies are going to cry. So you've stopped giving your breast milk and you're adding lots of formula and breastfeeding, but the baby's still going to wake up and the baby's still going to cry. So that won't be enough. So you're going to add more and more formula. You might run out, but that's still not going to be enough because the baby's going to wake up and the baby's going to cry. So you add cereal to the bottle, and that's probably not going to work either. So then you're going to need to start adding something else, and there's cookies and ice cream and all kinds of things that we heard that babies were getting, because it was really important that the baby was hungry and needed more. So it really became necessary for these mothers to give these inappropriate foods or to the babies to overcome these challenges that they were facing. So we were very fortunate. You know, we hypothesized, well, if we were able to somehow provide education to the WIC mothers and let them have a better understanding of how babies should behave and what the normal infant behavior patterns are, then maybe they would not be so willing to try all these other foods. Maybe there was a way to get that information for these moms. And indeed, we were very fortunate to receive one of the WIC special project grants in California to implement and evaluate such a program. So our project has been a 3-year educational intervention project. We have 8 sites that are ongoing in California, 4 in Northern California and 4 in Southern California. Our first year was the material development, staff training, and baseline data collection, which I'll be talking about today. We just ended our intervention period September 30th of this year, and so we are now just beginning our post-intervention data collection, write-up, and the dissemination portion. And our concept was to create a clinic environment. So we weren't following individual mothers. We were following the clinic environment and looking at the statistics from these clinics, supporting positive caregiver-infant interactions. So we're not just talking about soothing or feeding cues. We're talking about how can a mother feel confident in her interactions all day long and all night long with her baby. And so we had to develop social marketing materials, do some staff training. We developed handouts, classes, and lots of activities for the moms. The staff were trained in 4 different intervention trainings, lasting anywhere between 2.5 and 4 hours. We found it was very, very important that these trainings be separated by at least a few weeks so that the staff who gained the information could go and practice and see real babies doing all these things, very important part. We gave them lots of tools so that they would feel safe and comfortable talking to parents about their baby's behavior. And we've been very fortunate that in the entire year-long intervention period, we have not had a single report of any parent being offended by anything that we were doing in the sites. In the control sites, we had to do a training, so we talked about infant growth assessment. And all the classes and staff trainings and everything else we did had pre- and post-tests. And we have many piles to still enter of all of those. So the information that we obtained from the focus group was used to develop the materials. I have copies here, just a few to show you, not to give away. But if you're interested after the sessions, perhaps you want to see some of our products. And we also developed some pilot classes. And the information that were used for the messages were obtained from the scientific literature, particularly from Catherine Bernard and her colleagues up in Washington State that have been doing wonderful work for so many years. We did lots of extensive testing, interviewing participants with the prototype materials in 3 rounds for their acceptance and interest and comprehension, et cetera. And we revised and retested and revised and retested and revised and retested. So we developed 4 handouts and a little booklet. And the booklet is a countdown calendar for the first 6 weeks, because in the first 6 weeks, baby's behavior is so erratic that we found that it was really important to focus in on that period. But we also have information about baby cues, how important infant activity is, what are normal and healthy sleep patterns for babies, and then how parents can help their babies when they're crying. The class materials were developed and pre-tested in Sacramento County WIC prior to the beginning of the study. And each individual agency that participated, they were unique in how they integrated the material into their classes. So some had standalone classes, others just integrated the material into existing classes that they had going. So because, obviously, WIC is not the place where most parents think they're going to be discussing their infant's behavior, we did develop a series of posters and other types of social marketing materials. We had games. There was a scavenger hunt. We developed bookmarks, and we did a logo and the bags that we could give out so that there was more awareness among the participants that they could get information. This is one of our posters that says, "What does it mean to sleep like a baby? Young babies don't sleep like adults. Knowing more about how babies sleep can help tired parents. WIC can help you understand how your baby sleeps. Just ask us." So we had posters like this in English and Spanish all over the sites. So for our data collection, which is still ongoing, We had staff surveys, both at baseline and post. Participant surveys, we have all the baseline. We are now just starting our post-intervention surveys. Class pretests and evaluations, weights of infants at 6 months, staff interviews, and participant focus groups are ongoing. We also have been fortunate to get the ISIS data, which is the California computerized system for voucher selection that's all put onto the computer. So we've been following the ISIS data both in the intervention and control sites since the intervention began for infants who are for mothers of infants from 0 to 6 months. And we're very excited that while we don't have our post surveys yet, so we don't have all the information to pair with our baseline data collection, our data is very promising with respect to the ISIS data. What we have found through September 08, so our most recent data, is the intervention sites, we've had a 5.9 percentage point increase in the selection of the exclusive breastfeeding package in the intervention sites. In our intervention sites, the caseload as a total is about 27,000 women. So this is a substantial increase. In the control sites, we've only had an increase of a half a percent. And this represents, for the 5.9 percentage points change, is a 40.8% increase from baseline in these sites versus a 3.6% increase in the control sites. So we feel we have a very promising approach that could be added on to other approaches. The site selection for our study did not allow for any of the sites to have either external funding for breastfeeding support or peer counseling programs, because we really wanted to see what would happen in a site that was not did not have extensive breastfeeding support. So we're very pleased with this response, and we're hoping that when we add other peer counseling programs and other kinds of support, that we might even have a greater synergistic response. So to summarize, the staff training did result in improved knowledge and related to infant behavior and maternal-child interaction, and that the educational materials were well accepted by the WIC mothers and the staff. While the post-intervention data collection is still underway, the ISIS data indicate that the intervention was related to an increase in the percentage of participants choosing the exclusive breastfeeding package. So we believe very strongly that qualitative methods using focus groups and interviews are useful in developing and testing educational materials for WIC participants, and that infant behavior education may be used as part of other interventions to reduce inappropriate feeding in the WIC population. And that's the team. I always have to recognize them. Thank you.
Okay. So we have time for a couple of questions, if anybody has a question.
In California, there is already an intention to go with, statewide. They've actually reproduced enough of the handouts to do so. And right now, the weight is related to so many things. The food package changes, allowing for the training, and when will that be scheduled? That's really the gap. But California's already decided, and Oregon may also do it. Right now, we only have English and Spanish. There is actually an external grant that was applied for by a WIC agency to also, it was Chinese, well, Mandarin, and Russian.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We get our next presentation. This is a bit awkward.